football.
Yeah. See, we get mixed reactions, don't we? With one word, mixed reactions. We have people that are such fanatics about the sport that they do what? I mean, they dress up. You know, especially it's really exciting to watch college football because people dress up in the team colors. They show up. They've got their school band that's there, and they're doing just fantastic things with music. And, you know, I was watching, not because I wanted to, but because my son-in-law is up here and he's a sports fanatic. But there was the LSU game on, and it was interesting to watch the college band because there were one section of horns that were going this way and the other section of horns were going this way, and then they were swapping it back and forth, and it just provided such a neat visual to the television audience, as I'm sure the people in the stands. What do we all have going on there? You know, we have people dressing alike. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the reigning haircut back when Glenn Stevens and I had hair, yeah, it's a while ago, was the flat top with the sides a little bit higher. Side slick back, and for sure, if you could get the back of your hair to be in some kind of a tail, you were one cool dude. Try to do that with curly hair. It didn't work so well for me, but I tried. Man, I tried Brill Cream, right? Huh? Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about here, right? Yeah. A little dab, no, a lot of dab did me. A little dab just kind of got it, you know, okay, let's try to straighten out that curl. No, you know, but yeah, we did that. Why? Well, we did it to kind of fit in with people around us, right? It's so funny. The other day I was talking with some guys that are bikers, and another guy came riding up on a really nice bike. And he got off, and I go, wow, is that one of your biker friends? And they go, no. And I go, no? Why? Did you see that nice bike he had? Oh, yeah, I saw his bike. Well, then why isn't he one of your biker friends? Well, he's wearing tennis shoes. Not black boots like we wear. And there are these social parameters that we put on. Amen? I mean, for me, going through school, it was a pair of Levi's, a t-shirt, sleeves rolled up just a couple times, no pack of cigarettes in them for me, you know, because those would get taken by the teachers who would be out there smoking on their smoke break. But wasn't that the look, guys? And penny loafers with a penny in them, right? And or Converse tennis shoes. High tops. Black. I think it's so funny to see the kids wearing high top Converse tennis shoes today. And for some of you kids that might be here and wearing those, welcome to the old days. We do these things, though. We dress in these ways to do what? To feel like we fit in, right? That others that we can associate with other people and that they'll look on us and go, hey, we're normal. Right? Yeah. And we create a standard. And this is the type of thing that was trying to happen in the Colossian church. You see, some false teachers were coming in and they were talking about, well, the way that you worship God, you've got to do it this way, and you've got to observe these special things. You have to have these special words. You have to worship with us on just these special days. And they were trying to bring in legalism back into a church that was based upon the grace of God Almighty. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that we don't adhere to a day of rest, like we read about in the passage that my beautiful wife, a.k.a. Alan, read for us, is that there is supposed to be a day that was ordained by God that we take a day of rest away from our labors to observe God Almighty. Amen? And I thought it was really funny because my daughter and son-in-law, my grandsons are up, and on a day that they are taking off, I'm getting ready. I got to go to work. And they're like looking at me like, oh, yeah, today's a work day for you, huh? I go, yeah, enjoy the football. So Paul has a situation going on within the Colossian church that he hears about because, again, Paul has never visited this church. He's never laid eye upon the people of that church or what their customs were or what they were about. He didn't even know what any of them looked like. I mean, it's not like that any of them had FaceTime or Facebook or Instagram or smartphones that they could take pictures of the people and send it to Paul. They didn't have any of that stuff. They had donkeys. They had dirt roads. They had bare minimum of life. And yet, infiltrating this church at Colossae were teachings that have been passed down for generations. And so this new teaching about Jesus Christ is what Paul was trying to get them to grasp and to hold on to, that this was the new and living way, not the old way of the law and legalism. And so Paul, again, addresses some of the issues that the people in the Colossian church were having to face in the beginning of this new church. So let us read in chapter 2, verses 16 to 23, what Paul was addressing here. What does he say? So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these things are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying that they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they're not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't touch, don't taste, don't handle? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Powerful words that Paul pens for us, aren't they? And yet there was a mindset going on in the church, and guess what? It still permeates churches today. It's one of the things that last Sunday I got to go out to lunch with some people that I had grown up with in First Church of God, 9th and Fillmore in Phoenix, where this cross was a very prominent fixture that I was baptized under, I was married in front of, and so were a lot of them. And we got to talking about First Church and our growing up experience in the church and how they had more rules of things that you could not do versus things that you were allowed to do. And it was something that one of them even admitted, that he was not released from that legalism until 5 years ago. That legalism that had been taught to him had been so strongly permeated in his mind that he had such a hard time letting go of it. That this new life of grace in Christ Jesus was far greater than all the do's and the don'ts of the church. And I had to be honest in my testimony about it, that, you know, it's one of those things that drove me away from the church of God when I was a youth. When I became 18 years old, I even went and tried to reason with my father, who is very staunch church of God. I said, "Dad," I said, why do we have all these different rules? I said, especially about dancing. I said, because, you know, in my time, my age, I mean, we're doing it. Were you in as much pain as I was? And then there was the one that everybody now calls me by. Right? The jerk? Yeah. I said, "Dad," I said, "I don't get it." I said, "You know, we're 6 feet away from each other. I'm not in contact with anybody else other than me and my wonderful feelings and the music. You know, and I'm just doing it, Dad." And he says, "Son, the teachings of the Church of God is don't dance." That's why that first song today. We will dance. I had a little footloose moment. Huh? Because we will dance. God wants us to dance in His presence. Because what does dancing mean? I mean, I just love, my wife and I, when we're over in California, a lot of times we'll go to these free concerts that are out in the park. And all the old people are, you know, slicing up their cheese and putting out their wine and their crackers, and they're getting slopped. And we were not a part of that, just to let you know. However, because we're so good. But what was fun to watch was as the music went on, and there was a grassy area in front of the stage, and little kids like Melanie's granddaughter here and other little girls and boys would just kind of wander down, and to the music, all of a sudden they'd just be out there just twirling away and having a good time and free spirit. And then there were a couple of old spirits that tried to go out there and emulate, and they just didn't look as cute as the kids. However, they were trying to fit in, and we got it, and we kind of looked at each other and go, what's wrong with us that we can't just feel that freedom to just get up and praise our Lord, and just enjoy His presence and our praise of Him, right? Paul says, don't let anyone condemn you. Condemn you. Isn't that what a lot of the world likes to do? Well, I'd be a Christian, except, boy, you guys have so many rules and regulations that you have to follow. And I go, what? What book did you read? Because the book that I read said, I've got freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen? That I'm not bound to the things of this world. And if I want to look silly and stupid, guess what? I can look silly and stupid. And my wife goes, yes, you certainly can. But Paul is going on to say here, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. Now, this does not mean
that we don't observe a Sabbath day. It's just that these people, because of the rules that they were under the Jewish legalism, they were taught that they were supposed to worship some festivals. And that there were different times and different seasons that they had to observe it. Certain times during certain months. And for a certain length of time. And they had to bring sacrifices that pertained to those celebrations. And what Paul is addressing here is that that old way is gone. And behold, a new way has been presented through Jesus Christ. It's no longer a system of self-sacrifice. Instead, Christ sacrificed himself so that we could be in a right relationship with the Almighty God simply by our belief in him as Lord and Savior. That all these outside ceremonies, all these things that people were trying to bring into this new way, because that's what it was called at the very beginning, it was called the new way of following Christ Jesus. And it was without all these ceremonial holy days or all these Sabbaths, because their Sabbath wasn't just one day. There were some Sabbaths that lasted a whole week. And then there were some Sabbaths that had to last for a whole year. And those were the Sabbaths of the land. But what does Paul say? Because this is where I got the title of the message from. For these things are only shadows of the reality yet to come. They're shadows of reality. And so it leaves you with that pending question. Well, then, what is the reality? And Paul doesn't leave it up to you to decide what that reality is. Instead, he states it for us right here in the Scripture. He says what? And Christ himself is that reality. Kind of takes all the guesswork out of it, doesn't it? Christ himself is the reality. These other things are just shadows of that. In other words, they were the foretelling of what was coming in this new age of worship of the Son of God. I mean, honestly, wouldn't you rather have a worship of the one sent from the Father versus a bunch of rules and regulations that you had to try to memorize and live by? I mean, it's the law of law or grace. Which one do you really want to be under? And honestly, I myself, though at times we fall back into the law way of thinking, I try to follow the way of grace. Knowing that, you know, Christ died for all my sins, I'm going to fall short. I know it. But guess what? It's not about me. It's about what Christ did for me and my beliefs in him. Not my beliefs in myself and how good I'm going to be. Or how steady I am at reading the Bible or prayer or meeting every week. Yes, these are things that we should have in our walk with God. Why? So that we can learn what it's like to love as Christ loved. And to live the way that he did. Where he had a heart for those who were suffering in the world. That's why our vision is to minister aid to suffering hearts. Because there are many people around us that are suffering and are doomed for an eternity of separation from God's presence. And you've got to have a heart that's burdened for that, folks. You have to. Because you and I have experienced this great gift from Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we want to give that away to others that we know are suffering because of the world's systems? Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels. You see, there was a worship of angels going on. Do we have such a thing today? Sure. Don't fly any faster than your angel can, or don't drive any faster than your angel can fly, right? How many of you have seen that bumper sticker? Right? That's a worship of angels. We're no longer under the power of angels, although they are just ministering spirits to the believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? But we're not supposed to worship them. Right? Paul goes on to say their minds have made them proud. They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. Wow. For Christ holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Joints, right? And ligaments. And it grows as God nourishes it. Our body. There are times that I get into sharing about our wonderful church here. And people are curious, especially those that might attend larger congregations, and you get into conversations with them. In fact, I did this just the other night. Suzanne and I were at the yogurt shop, and I ran into another ex-fireman that I worked on the same truck with, except he had a different shift than I did. And so I always had to clean up his messes. No, I'm just playing. But anyway, we started talking, and the delight to my soul was the fact that he was a Christian, because we had many conversations at the station about the Lord and about his beliefs and my beliefs and things. But I never knew whether he was a Christian or not. And in our conversation the other night, we found out that they attend one of the largest churches in the area. And he says, "Well, how's your church going?" And you know, you always get that kind of embarrassed thing a little bit sometimes. "Well, how big is your church?" Everybody always wants to quantify how good your church is by the numbers that are in it, by the number of people that are attending. You know, like that the more people that are a part of what you're doing, then, oh, it gives a greater value to it. And I say, you know what? It's one of the great things that I am very proud to know about my church is that we're a church that's in the minority, a majority. We're in the majority, and the church that you're attending is actually a minority. Because 85% of the churches in America are 80 people or less. Woohoo! Right? I finally win. I'm in a majority for once, right? Yeah. And the church that you attend is, you know, there's only 1.5% of the churches in all of America are that size. 1.5%. 85%. 1.5%. Who wants to brag now, buddy? Right? But we do that, don't we? We get into this comparison thing. Rather than looking at each other, and actually my reply to him was, "You know what? Yeah, that's a great church that you attend. And we pray for it often, because if a giant like your church falls, it's going to affect a lot of people." Right? Huh. So, pray for the large churches in our area. Pray for their leadership, that they hold together. Because it says God nourishes it, that it will grow. So, I'm not embarrassed about our church, because we've got something very special here. And I celebrate it. I celebrate the love that I see happen here on meet and greet time, where everybody gets acknowledged. and we're actually joyful about seeing each other. We're not, you know, scooting around the aisles going, don't want to shake their hand. You know, we actually go up to each other and we're glad to see one another. This is indeed a great family of God's. And we've got a very special thing here. Let's keep it together that way. As Christ is the head of this church, not me. I am just a mouthpiece. Christ is the head of this church. Amen? Let's keep that in mind, please. Because if you think that the church is run by Don Tijima, then I'm not doing my job well. This church is run by Christ. He holds it together. No, I don't want to go there. Anyway, Paul goes on to say, you've died with Christ. And he's done what? Set you free. From what? The spiritual powers of this world. Christ has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Our battle is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that goes on, that wars for our soul, wars for our eternity. Are you led by the Spirit of God, or are you led by the spirit of this world and what it craves? Well, we can tell. In fact, I once heard a pastor say, I can tell where people's hearts are by just examining their checkbook and what they put their money toward. Because what they put their money toward is what they truly believe in. And so if there isn't any giving unto God, then there really isn't any kind of heart towards God and His work. Who says I don't preach a giving sermon every once in a while, right? You have died with Christ, and He set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. And no, that pastor was not me. I did not say that. However, we can tell the things that people's lives are really about by observing what they give their money and their times to. Amen? Just saying, folks. Because what is important to us is dictated by what we'll spend our time in supporting, and what we'll give our monies to. Amen? Just saying. So, why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't touch, taste, or handle? These rules, they sound really good, though, don't they? But these rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide what? No help in doing what? In conquering a person's evil desires. Because that's our battleground right there, is our own evil desires that well up within us, right? And though these things may sound really good and sound and have some good answers to them, and they might be partially good for us to be a part of, however, how does it help us deal with our evil desires? That's what the bottom line is. So, here's your one fill-in for the day. Ready? Abstaining from activities or foods to prove connection to God is a wrong concept. It's a wrong idea. Real connection and freedom only comes through belonging to Christ Jesus. Real connection only comes through belonging to Christ Jesus. A couple of scriptures that Paul wrote out of Romans to kind of challenge us this morning in this mindset. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says what? In view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Romans 8, verses 1 and 2 says what? There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin and death. These scriptures back up exactly what Paul is talking to the Colossian church about. These things that seem really good and pious and seem really religious, they're just shadows. The reality is what? Christ. The reality is Christ and your belonging to Him. Not belonging to the things of this world. So, you don't have to wear Hawaiian shirts. It's just something I choose to do. It's fun for me. I honestly do not like shirts and ties. Yeah, brother. Found a brother in the crowd. And yet, There is a pressure and a stress put on, well, you're the pastor of the church after all. I want to be proud of you. Can you please dress in a shirt and tie? And well, it would be really cool if you had a suit on too. No, it wouldn't be cool. I'd have it cranked down to 68 degrees in here. That's the only coolness you would really be feeling because I would be hot. People, it's not about the things that we involve ourselves with in this world. It's about how involved we are with Christ Jesus. Does He truly rule and reign your life? Do you truly belong to Him and nothing else? God knows. And it shows by what you give yourselves to and what you help support. God bless each and every one of you. And please continue to pray for this Crisis Relief International team over in Iraq. Pray for the hearts of these ISIS warriors, that their hearts would be burdened about the innocent lives that they are taking, all in the name of God. All in the name of God. They're fervent for the things of God, their God. But it's not the true God, because our God is a God of love. Not if not believe in me or you're going to die. Well, yes, that is the eternal death that some will experience. But it's not a death right now. If you were taken this morning to a place of choosing whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not at gunpoint, would you say yes? Without any hesitation. That's what it's all about, folks. My answer would be, oh, I most certainly do, and death is not a threat to me. Because death only issues life. Amen? And that's the hope that I have because of Jesus. Loving Heavenly Father, things of this world are just shadows. The reality is your Son, Jesus Christ. And my relationship with Him, my belief in Him, my trust, and my life based upon His life. may I be so empowered through the strength of your Holy Spirit to be wholly yours. Not just for the promises of eternal life, but because I see that it's a better way of living each and every day. To not have to live in guilt over things I've done or things I'm a part of anymore. To not run around hiding, that I can be very transparent, I can be very upfront and go, you know what, please, look at my life, examine me. I'm doing my best to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of that. God, bless these people with the strength of your Spirit that they might walk in your ways. May we bring light into this very dark world by the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.